Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sally didn't like school. In fact, she hated it. It wasn't the classes, and it wasn't the fact that it was school and you're not supposed to like school. It was the way people treated her. Every day was torment. She was teased for her weight. She was pushed and shoved for wearing glasses. Sometimes she was called names. Sometimes she was the topic of incredibly rude and cruel jokes and rumors. And often she just did not know why. Each and every day she would count down the minutes to the final bell, signaling her release from her brick and mortar hell, only to wake up the next morning full of dread for whatever new horrors her tormentors had in store for her. Teachers were no help. Even the nice kids in school just pretended like they didn't see. It was killing her. Pedro didn't like being poor. He didn't like being different from everyone else either. He worked hard, but he struggled to get out of the living paycheck to paycheck rut that he was in. He knew he could do it if he just had some support, some little bit of help. But in this, he felt utterly alone. The small community he lived in either couldn't look past his skin color, they couldn't get beyond his accent, or they just couldn't get over the fact that he wasn't from around here. No one took notice of him. No one offered any help. No one seemed to care, and it was killing him. The fifth commandment states, "You shall not murder." And we ask, what does this mean? It means we should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. Violating the fifth commandment isn't just about going and ending a person's life. I don't know if you've noticed this as we've gone through what Luther gives us in the Small Catechism, how he teaches us and what his intention is with the catechism. It's supposed to be like a sermon. And it's based on his study of Scripture. And so in his study of Scripture, what he's seen is that murder isn't just the taking of life. It's bigger than that. And in his Small Catechism, when he gives us an explanation on a commandment, he elaborates on the negative aspect of that commandment, but he also makes sure to give us what the positive aspect of that is, how we positively fulfill God's command. The negative aspect of not murdering: do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body. It's not just ending the life, it's the hurt and the harm that comes with it. You do that, you are in violation of the fifth commandment. But it goes beyond that. The positive aspect: help and support him in every physical need. And when Luther writes physical, he doesn't mean just the body. He means all that we are upon this earth. Your mind, your psyche, your emotional state, all of it is included in that. And with the stories that I read, I think we can all agree that we have all been murderers at some point in our lives. Whether it's because we've been active in harming someone physically or mentally or emotionally, or because we have not helped someone who has been in pain, in need, has needed some compassion, and we looked the other way. This commandment is not simply obeyed by not murdering someone. We break this command when we cause hurt and harm, but also when we have remained neutral, when we don't help, when we don't support our neighbor in every physical need. You look through the commandments, and you might look like, well, number five I'm pretty good on. I don't have to worry about number five. I haven't killed anybody. But the reality is that we have violated all of it in some way or another. It might feel smaller, and it is. Of course, abusing someone with words is far less than taking their life from this earth, but it is still a violation of the command. I think the Small Catechism, in many ways, reflects on this commandment, on what John tells us in his letter. And John doesn't mince words. He lays it out. John often, whether it's his gospel or these three letters that he writes at the end of Scripture, it's an either-or situation for John. It is just that way. And here's what he says in verses 14 through 18. Our love for each other proves that we have gone from death to life. In other words, you prove that you are a Christian, that you are a follower of Jesus by your love for other people. But if you don't love each other, you are still under the power of death. John calls into question whether you actually believe in Jesus or not. He lays it out for us. It is an either-or kind of thing. If you hate each other, you are murderers. And we know that murderers do not have eternal life. We know what love is because Jesus gave his life for us. There's the bar. That's how we know what love is. That Jesus gave his life for us. That's why we must give our lives for each other, he says. And then he gives us an example. If we have all we need, and we see one of our own people, and here he's not even just talking about a random person across the world. He's talking about other believers living in the faith community amongst each other. This is what he would be talking about, the people in the church. If you have all you need, and you see one of your own people in need, we must have pity or compassion on that person. Or else we cannot say we love God. Children, and this is believers, you show love for others by truly helping them, not by merely talking about it. John tells us what love is. He tells us what hate is. And for him, there's no middle ground. You are either loving or you are hating. Those who have gone from death to life, those who are truly people of faith in Christ, exhibit, they prove, they testify to what Christ has done for them by their love for others, not just talking about their love for others, but acting out their love for others, for their neighbors, in work and in deed. And so what does this look like? It means having compassion on others. It means seeing to their needs. It means laying down your life, just as Jesus did, for another person. Love does not question how deserving the other person is. It doesn't regard one's own safety. It doesn't give lip service to love. It is active. I can think of several times that I have broken this commandment even while standing in this building itself. This commandment condemns me, it condemns you, and we see quickly how much in need of a Savior we are. I have this thought that the first commandment, which is you shall have no other gods, and is stated negatively, and this commandment, which is you shall not murder, which is stated negatively, are the negative aspects of what Christ calls the greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and all your mind, and all your soul. And the second commandment is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. If we are not loving our neighbor as ourself, we are breaking the fifth commandment. We are killing others. But thankfully, in this hard writing that John gives, he does give us what the gospel is. He lifts up this gospel also as a model, but it is still the gospel. It is this fact that Jesus Christ died for his neighbors. You and I are the neighbors of Christ. And Jesus laid down his life for us. And not only does he lay down his life for sinners like you and me, but he changes sinners. He looks at your heart of stone and he takes it, your heart of stone that is full of hate, that is selfish, that is self-seeking, that is self-centered, that is self-interested and unloving, and he molds it, turns it from stone into a heart of flesh. And he gives you then this heart back, a heart that is loving, that is capable of self-denial, that is capable of self-sacrifice, and is, in fact, selfless. This heart that you have, Christ gave you by rights of his own death on the cross for you. And not only that, but he gives you his Spirit, which then calls you to life. It works inside you. It tells you, hey, Sean, you broke this commandment. Seek forgiveness. And it also tells you and gives you the power to do that which you know by any rights as a sinner you cannot do. Jesus Christ has taken your heart of stone, given you a heart of flesh, that you might go into this world and love your neighbor as yourself. Let us pray. O gracious and loving Father, give us by your Spirit hearts that are ready to love others. Help us to not do harm or hurt to our neighbors, but instead to see to their needs, to have compassion, to be selfless and sacrificing of ourselves, to be ready to lay down our lives, however that might look, for the service of others, that they then might see through us the love you have for them and come to a greater faith and appreciation for how you work in your church. We ask this in your name. Amen.